The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Baba Mitziah Daf Pehe. Today's daf is being studied in the Nishmat Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihenu B'Gan Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. The Ailu Nishmat Abraham Tzion ben Nava. Ruach Hashem Tenihenu B'Gan Eden. Amen. Uvah Shelema Rabbanit Sara Bat Ya'el. El Naref Anadar Fat Nefesh Ufat Aguf. Amen. We begin today's daf on Ped Dalet Amud Bet, and we are going to start from the Gemara twelve lines from the bottom. But Torah Mayhi. First word on the line would be B'Ma'asim. We learned in the previous Gemara, the Gemara said that after Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon died, so Rabbi wanted to marry his widow. So the widow of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon said, "How can I go with you? My husband is greater than you in Ma'asim Tovim." And Rabbi admitted also that he's also greater in Torah. So the wife said, "Well, Torah, I didn't know. Only you just said it now. Now I know it. But I know for sure in Ma'asim Tovim he was greater because he accepted upon himself a measure of Yisunim, Be'ahaba." So the Gemara is going to explain now, where do you see the Torah of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says, "But Torah mayhi, where do you see the greatness of Torah of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon? Dechiavu yadve Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel v'Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha Asaf Saleh." When the two great rabbis, the Ban Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha, were sitting on the benches, they were teaching Torah to the students. Yetve kamayu Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon ve Rabbi Ara. The two students, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon ve Rabbi, would sit on the floor in front of the rabbis to hear the Devarei Torah. Makshu u'mefarku. They would ask questions and they would answer questions. They were very sharp. Amar, Amre. So the rabbi said, Mimehen anu shotim. We're drinking from their waters and they're sitting on the ground. They should be sitting up here with us. Avdu lehu safsaleh. So they made for themselves their own benches. Askinu, and they brought them up to come sit with Hakamim. Amar lehen Rabban Shimon Gamliel. So Rabban Shimon Gamliel, who was the father of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the father of Rabbi. So he was upset that they took his son and they put him on the stage. He felt that they're going to give him the Ayin Hara. So he wasn't happy to put his son on top. He said, "Pereda ahat yeshli benechem. I have a small bird amongst you, meaning my son, who's a special, fledgling, a young special boy. V'atem v'kshim la'bedayim eni. You want to take him away from me? You want to destroy him? So he's really want to put him in the front of here. Everyone's going to give him the Ayin Hara. Anyway, achtuhu l'rabbi. So they put Rabbi back down again, as his father's request. Amar dehen Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha says, "Mi sheyesh lo av yichyeh, or mi she'en lo av yamut." Well, just because Rabbi, his father's alive to protect him, so he should live and go sit back down. But Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, his father wasn't alive anymore. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was gone, so he should die because he doesn't have a father to protect him. So he said, "Achtu anamel Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon." So they took Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon also, and they put him back down also to protect him from the Ayin Hara. Halash da'ate. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon felt bad, as if they were comparing him to Rabbi. He was greater than Rabbi in Torah. He felt bad, as if they're putting him on the same level. Amar kachashvitu lekiveti. Are they comparing the Benu Kadabi to me? Ad ayyuma. Till that point, Kiava Amar Rabbi Milta. Till that point, every time Rabbi would say a Devarei Torah or a word of Halakha, Hava Misaya Le Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon bring him a proof, would fortify his statements. He would say, "You're right." He would give him a Ra'aya. However, Mikan Vahilach, Kiava Amar Rabbi Yeshli Lashiv. When Rabbi Elazar would say, "I have a question," Amar le Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, "Kak vekak yesh lecha leashiv." This is what your question is. Zui teshuvatcha, and this is what the answer is. Because he would be a little tough with him after he got offended a little, so he would be strong with him and say, "This is the answer to your question." Hashta hekeftaru teshuvot havilot she'en behem mamash. Wow, you tell him you've surrounded us with all sorts of questions, a bundle of questions. Shem behem mamash. These are not questions. These are not refutations. The Rabbi started to talk to the Rabbi. Azal Rishon talked to the Rabbi with a strong language. And he told him. He says, "What are you asking these questions for? These are not questions worthy." Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Good. Halash da'te d'rabi. So now Rabbi felt bad. Ata amale la'abu. So he went to his father. He went to Rabban Shimon over there to tell his father to be Azal Rishon and picking on him. Amale beni al yira'alicha. Don't feel bad. Shehu ari ben ari. Ve'ata ari ben shu'al. Bin Azab Rabbi Shimon, he's a lion, the son of a lion. His father is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. He says, you're a lion, the son of a fox. Meaning he was very humble in the Banshim Gamliel. He considered himself a fox, meaning a lower standard. So the Gemara says, "V'hainu da'amar Rabbi." That's what the Rabbi once said. Shelosha anvetanim hen. There are three humble people. Who are they? The Elohen. Abba, my father, meaning the Banshim Gamliel. Ubene Betera, the sons of Betera. The Yonatan ben Shaul, and Yonatan the son of Shaul HaMelech. And the Gemara explains, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel had the Amran. We just explained Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel that he referred to himself as Shu'al. He said Rashbi was considered Ari. I'm only considered Shu'al. So then we see he was humble. Bnei Betera, we learned this in Masechet Pesachim. They were the presidents of the Kahal. When somebody once asked a question to them, they didn't know the answer. Hillel was there. Hillel knew the answer, so Bnei Betera said, "You're smarter than us." They abdicated from the presidency and they gave the kavod to Hillel. The Amar Mor Hoshivuhu Berosh Uminuhu Lenasi Alehem. That's referring to Hillel, that they put him on as the president. You see, they were humble people. Yonatan ben Shaul. We see Yonatan, the son of Shaul, also the Kaamalele David. He told David, "Ve'ata Timloch Al Yisrael Ve'ani Eye Lecha LeMishneh." Says, "You will be the next king of Israel, and I will be your second. I will be under you." Even though Yonatan was the son of the king, he was not interested in taking the power for himself. He gave it to David, and he said, "I'll be under you." The Gemara says, "Mimai, what's your proof that Yonatan was humble?" Dilma Yonatan ben Shaul the Hazad de Garir Alma Batar David. He just saw that politically they were going after David. He knew he couldn't win. So that's not humility. He saw that he didn't have a chance to win. He saw everybody was following David. That's why he gave him the kavod. And Bnei Betera nameh dehazeh lehillel de'adif minayu. Bnei Betera also, they didn't want to hold on to the presidency because they felt embarrassed if they're going to get asked questions that they're not going to have to answer. So they said, "You know what, let's get out of here when we can still save our reputation and give it to Hillel." That doesn't show that they were humble. They were trying to save their reputation. Ela Rabban Shimon Gamliel Vadai Anvetan Hava. For sure, Rabban Shimon Gamliel, out of all the three, he was the most humble. For sure, it was conclusive humble, because he didn't have to call himself a Shu'al. The fact that he called himself Ari ben Shu'al, therefore you see clearly he was humble. Amar Rabbi. Now we go back. When Rabbi saw that Rabbi El Azar ben Rabbi Shimon accepted upon himself Yisurin, he accepted upon himself affliction. As we studied, he used to ask the afflictions to come on him. He said, "Go, come my brothers, come my friends." And every night his body would fill with boils, and it was blood and pus and things. He suffered tremendous suffering. But you see what? It helped him. How did it help him? At the end, when he died, his body did not decay. Some say his body wasn't buried for 18 years. Some say up to 22 years. So you see that when the beast saw the value of Yisurin, that when a person accepts upon himself affliction, that there's a beracha of some sort in it. So he said, "Amar Rabbi, Havivin Yisurin." He said, "The Yisurin are great." Look at Rashi on the third line. Shira'a shu'ilu Yisurin shirabi l'azar shelo shaltaborima. He saw that the maggots, the bugs, the worms, were not able to affect. Rabbi l'azar b'ribi shu'ilin said, "You know what? I also want Yisurin," he said. See, when I says kibel alei, accepted upon himself telesar shane, 13 years of affliction. Sheet mitzamirta, 6 years he accepted upon himself the suffering of avanim, stones in the track. over there, which are very, very, very painful. Kidney stones. Ve'sheva b'safrina. And 7 years of a certain holy in the mouth. Okay? And the Gemara says, Ve'amliya, some say the opposite. Shiva b'tzemirta. 7 years of a holy in the mouth. Ve'sheet b'tzafrina. I'm sorry, seven in the stones, v'sheet b'safrina, and 6 years of the sickness in the mouth. Either way, it was 7, 6, look at which was 7, which was 6. Ahoraire deberbi, the stable boy of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, hava atir m'shebor malka, was even richer than King Shfod, who was the king of Paras. He was very rich because he was in charge of the dung, the zevel of feeding the animals. And from the Zevil of Rabbi, he became the fertilizer, he became rich. That's what Tosafot says. Anyway, he wanted to protect the dignity of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, every time he went to the bathroom, because of the stones were very painful, he would scream and yell on top of his lungs. So he wanted to drown out the voice so nobody should hear him. So at that time he used to feed the animals. And when you feed the animals also make noise. So he did it on purpose to drown out the rabbi's crying. Kadavar me kista lehayuta, when he used to give kista, kista is like tevin, food, mispora, she says, mispora, hey, to the animals, haba azil kala betilta mile. The sound of the animals used to travel 3 mil, the braying of the animals. Haba mechaven, he used to prepare or make it exact that he would feed the animals at the same moment that the bee would go to the Beit Kiseh in order to drown out the Benu's crying and screaming. But still he was louder. His voice overpowered the voice of the animals. Even the sailors on the seas, they heard the voice of Rabbeinu HaKadosh in pain when he was coming in the bathroom. Va'afilu ache yisure d'Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon adifem d'Rabbi. But still, the yisurin that Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon suffered was greater than the yisurin of Rabbi. Why? De'il Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon me'ahaba ba'u u'me'ahaba halchu. He got what's called yisurin shel ahaba. Yisurin shel ahava is a type of affliction where there's no bitul Torah. As we said, in the morning the yisurin used to go, and he used to be able to study Torah, and it wasn't for a specific avon. It just came on him. He accepted them me'ahava. However, the deen is according to Rabbi, al yedem maaseh ba'u v'yedem maaseh alchu. His yisurin came because of something he did that brought the yisurin upon him, and then when he corrected the ma'aseh, so then the yisurin left. What was the ma'aseh that Rabbi did? So the Gemara says, "Al yedei ma'aseh ba'u, mayhi dahu egla." There was a certain egel. Egel is a calf. Dahu kamamte le'lishchita. They were bringing the egel to shechita, to slaughter it. Azal. So the animal went. It didn't want to get slaughtered. Talya le'reshe b'chnafed Rabbi. It went and put its head on the coat of Rabbi, as if to tell Rabbi, protect me, save me from the shechita. Ve'kabache, and the animal was crying. Amarle, so Rabbi turned to the animal and said, Zil, lekach notzarta. No, that's what you were created for. You created for to get slaughtered. Amre, hu'id ve'lo kam rachem. So they said in the Shamayim, since he does not have mercy on the animal, lite aleha yisurin. Let the yisurin go on him. The one that does not have rahamim, so there's going to be judgment on him. But with the ma'aseh, the yisurin went away. What happened? Yuma had one day, kakansha amte derbi beta. So she was sweeping the house. So what happened? Hava shadya bene karkushta. So on the floor there was like little weasels. And she was sweeping them away to get rid of them, like she was trying to shoo away the weasels. Amarla, so the Rabbeinu HaKadosh said, Shafkinu, leave them alone. Keti verachamav akol ma'asav. Torah says, Pasuk says in Tehillim, God's mercy and compassion is on all of the creation. Amre, so they said in the Shamayim, Ho'il u'merachem, Merachem ale, since now he's having compassion on the animals, the weasels, so now we're going to have mercy on him. Means, according to Rabbeinu's Yisurin, also we're not considering Yisurin Shalahaba, he couldn't tell him to go away. Whereas Rabbi Azavich was able to tell them to go. Because I told you, Yisurin Shalahaba, there's no Bitul Torah. But this Yisurin he had constantly. Any event comes to Gemara and continues and says, Kullihu Shene Yisurid Rabbi Azar, all the years that Rabbi Azar had the Yisurin, Lo Shechiv Inish Belo Zimne. Nobody ever died prematurely. Which means, it seems that every person has a time that he's supposed to expire. If he did not make an Avera, but if he makes Avera, then already there's Kitzur Yamim. Then they cut his life short. So over here, because of Rabbi Azar accepting upon himself Yisurin, it was kapara for all the sins of the generation. And therefore, even if a person had a sin, it did not cause him to die prematurely. Comes the Gemara and says, all the years of the Yisurin of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, lo itzarich alma limitra. The world did not need rain. It didn't rain during his time, but there was no drought. There was an ample amount of water. Ve'amar Rabba, Rabba said, Bar ve'rav shela, kashe yomad demitra ki yomad didina. When it rains, it's difficult for people, because they really can't get out. The roads are all muddy. It's like the Day of Judgment. In the olden days, they used to have the courts set up on Mondays and Thursdays. And there used to be a big commotion on Mondays and Thursdays in the city. Everybody would come, there was traffic, there was noise, because people wanted to get to the courts. So there was a big tumult on Mondays and Thursdays. So they say that on a day of rain, it's like the commotion of the days of judgment. So the Gemara says, to the extent, v'amara memor, ilav sarich ne'alma. If the world really did not need rain to sustain itself, the rabbis would pray to take away the rain in totality. Because it's very difficult. It seems in the old days as well, they didn't have paved streets. So when it rained, the whole place would get flooded. They didn't have sewage systems like we have. So therefore it was very hard for them to... And all their markets were outside. So there was a lot of... it was a big trouble when there was a rain. So it says, during the times of the bees, Yisurin, there was no rain. It was not necessary. And don't think there was a shortage. Afidu Hakeh, the Gemara says, Ki avu akre fugla mimishra. When a person would, let's say, take a radish outside of the from the fields, hava kaima bira malyamaya, underneath it you'd find a water like in a well gathered. Even though it didn't rain, but the earth was so saturated with water that there was a beracha even without having the actual rain. So one time Rabbi came to the place of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Amar lehu. So he said to him, actually first of all, there's a very interesting marsha over here. Let's just go back. The marsha says that in the zechut of each one of these rabbis, the world got a blessing that was appropriate according to that rabbi's midah. Which means, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, he used to catch robbers. That was his job that he used to do for the king. So therefore, and he was concerned that these robbers were going to die prematurely. That's why he accepted upon himself Yisurin, because he wanted to make sure they did not make a mistake. And therefore, since his Yisurin came to mechaper on maybe a premature death that he gave to the robbers, so everybody else gave me that, can they give me that, that during his time, nobody died prematurely. Furthermore, the Yisurin of Rabbi came because he was a little cruel by telling the animal, oh, lekach no tzata, what are you complaining? That's why you were... So therefore, Borei Olam brought a sechut what that there was midat rahamim, and therefore they did not need rain. Rain is considered din, like we just said. It's like Yom HaDin because it's difficult for the people. So therefore, since he his yisurin came to mechaper on amount of din, so once he accepted upon those yisurin, so God took away the din from the world, and therefore there was no rain. Therefore, there was midat rahamim. The people were able to move about without having any difficulties or any hardships. Comes Gemara and says now, Ikla Rabbi Le'atred Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi once went to the place of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. This is after he died. Amalehu, so he tells the people, Yesh lo ben oto tzadik? Does Rabbi Elazar have a son? So they said, Amru lo, yesh lo ben. He has a son. However, he's not so good. Vechol zona sheniskeret b'shnayim socharto b'shmona. That any zona that usually takes two coins, whatever it is, hires him for eight, pays him for eight, which means he was so handsome that he was getting into trouble. Atiye, so Rabbi brought the son of Rabbi Elazar to him, Asmeche b'Rabbi, and he gave him semicha, and he told him, you are Rabbi. He wanted to give him an incentive to study Torah. He was trying to take him away from his lifestyle. So he said, no, you have a title of rabbi now. Therefore, you have to be very careful. You cannot now go with these people. He wanted them now to study Torah. So comes the Gemara and says, Ve'ashlemeh, and he gave him over to a teacher to study Torah. To who? The Rabbi Shimon ben Isi ben Lakonya. Ahu, de'imeh. It was his uncle, his mother's brother, to study Torah. Kol yoma, every day, have a amar, the son of Rabbi Elazar would say, Likiriyati ana ezil. I want to go back home. I want to go back to my city. I don't want to stay here. I want to go back home. He didn't want to learn Torah. Amale. So Rabbi Shimon says, what are you complaining? Hakim adu yatach. We're going to make you a hacham. Vigulta de dava parsu alach. And they're going to put on you a golden robe that the Hachamim used to wear. The Rabbi Karolach, and they're going to call you Rabbi. That Amad Kriyati and Azil, you're going to get all the kavod. What are you doing? What do you want to go back home for? Amale. So he said, Mume. That's the language of Shivua. I swear, Azuvada. I'm leaving it. I'm not going home. I'm staying here, and I'm going to study Torah. Kigadal, when he got older, Ata Yati Bimetifta the Rabbi. So he went and he studied in the Bet Midrash of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Shama'i lekaleh. Rabbi was in the Bet Midrash one day and he heard this young boy studying Torah. He heard his voice. Amar, ha-kaladame lekalad Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. I know this voice from somewhere. This voice sounds like the voice of Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. Amru le berehu. That's his son. Kari aleh. Rabbi said on him, Pri tzaddik etz hayim. Velokeh nefashot hacham. Pri tzaddik, the fruit of the tzaddik is life, tree of life. Zeh Rabbi Yoseh, b'Rabbi Elazar, b'Rabbi Shimon. That's Rabbi Yoseh, the son of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon. He's the fruit of Rabbi Elazar, the tzaddik. In the zechut of his father, that was a tzaddik, he ended up becoming Etz Chaim. He ended up becoming one that studies Torah. Velokeh nefashot hacham. And the one that brings souls back to Torah is a hacham. Zeh Rabbi Shimon ben Isi ben Lakonya. That's the teacher of Rabbi Yoseh, the son of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, that taught him Torah. And therefore he took his soul, lokeyach nefesh, like as good as his father. Which means, from here we learn that when you teach somebody else's son Torah, it's as if you took that soul as your own. It's as if it's yours. And therefore he says, velokeyach nefeshot. It's like he took a nefesh. Who takes nefeshot? Hakam. The hakam that teaches students is if he takes those neshamot as his own. So now when Rabbi Yosef died, now we remember already on yesterday's daf when Rabbi Elazar died. They brought him into the cave of his father, and there was a snake over it, and let him in, and the snake released itself, so they were able to bring the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai into the cave. So the same thing happened over here. Amtuhu ne'alta de'abu. They brought him into the cave of his father. Hava hadra la akna le'ma'alta. There was a cave, there was a snake that was coiled up in front of the cave, not to let him in. Amale. So they told the snake, Achna, achna, snake. Ptahpika v'yikanes ben etzel abiv. Open yourself, open your mouth, which means take the tail away from your mouth and release yourself so the son can go be with his father. Ve'lo patchalihu, but this time the snake did not listen. Kesburim ha'am nomad sheze gadol mizeh. They thought that the reason is because must be Rabbi Elazar was greater than Rabbi Yoseh. Therefore, he wasn't worthy to be buried next to his father. However, the Gemara says, Yetzta bat kol, a voice came out of the Shemaim v'amra, lo, mipenesh zeh gadol mizeh, not because Rabbi Elazar is greater than Rabbi Yosef, that we're not letting him be buried inside. Ela ze haya betzar me'ara, veze lo haya betzar me'ara. For 13 years, Rabbi Elazar lived with his father in the cave, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. And that was great Yisurin. That was a great level that they attained. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon had something in common. They both endured the tzar of the me'ara, of the cave. Therefore, they could be together. Rabbi Yosef was great. But since he did not endure that experience of the me'ara, he was on a different level. He was not able to be buried with them. Good. Which means it seems the limud ha-Torah mituch tzar, studying the Torah and duress, is a greater madriga. Not that Rabbi Yosef did not study Torah. He studied a lot of Torah and he knew a lot. But the quality of the Torah that studied in Sa'ar is greater than the Torah that studied not in Sa'ar. Now the Gemara tells another story about one of the sons of the rabbis. Ikla Rabbi, again, Rabbi went le'atred Rabbi Tarfon, to the place of Rabbi Tarfon after Rabbi Tarfon died. Amar Lehu, same thing. Yesh lo ben le'otot tzaddik. He said, hey, does Rabbi Tarfon have a son? The tzaddik has a son? So he says, Shaya mekapeach et banav. Rabbi Tarfon, anytime he used to make a statement that he wanted to impress upon the Hachamim that he was right, he would say, if I'm not right, I'll bury my children. That's what his statement was. Rabbi held that could be that's why Rabbi did not have any children that lived. Because from the fact that he said such a statement, that already probably brought it upon himself. So he wanted to know, does he have any living children left, this tzaddik? The rabbi used to say that my children should be cut off. Is anybody around still? Amru lo ben emno. They said, you know what, he doesn't have a son. Ben bat yeshlo. But a grandson he has. V'chol zona sheneskeret b'shneayim sochato b'shmona. Same story. Any zona that usually takes two, sochato b'shmona. Takes him, pays him eight. Because he was very handsome. So again, he went off to Derech. At Yuhu lekameh. So they brought the grandson of Rabbi Tarfon in front of Rabbi. If you make teshuvah, yehiv nalach bartai. I'll give you my daughter as a wife. Hadar be, he made teshuvah.
Wow.
Oh, so what happened? Ikada amre nesaba v'girsha. Some say he did marry the daughter of Rabbi, but he got divorced. Ikada amre lo nesaba kelal. But some say he didn't marry at all. Kedesh shelo yomru b'shvil zu hazar ze. That they shouldn't say that that's the reason why he indeed made the teshuvah. Now, even though we learned earlier that the shtakish married the sister of Rabbi Yochanan, and that was the deal. If you make teshuvah, I'll give you my sister. It seems they weren't concerned about that. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan made this offer b'tzina'ah. It was done in private. And therefore, they were the only two that knew about it. However, in this case over here, it was done in public. Therefore, they were concerned that if he's going to marry the daughter of Rabbi, everyone's like, oh yeah, of course, he only married her because, he only made teshuvah because he could marry. But the deal between Rabbi Hanan and Shakish was done in private. Nobody knew that was the condition. Now the Gemara asks, V'lamma le kulehai? Why did Rabbi make such an effort to go bring back the sons of these tzaddikim to teshuvah? After all, Rabbi went to the place where Rabbi Elazar used to live to try to bring back his son. And then he went to the place of Rabbi Tarfon to try to bring back his son. Why was Rabbi so interested in going bringing back these sons of the tzaddikim? Da'amar Rabbi Yudamar Rav. Amrila Amar Rabbi Chaya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yohanan. Amrila Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Somebody that teaches his friend's son Torah, zoche veyoshev b'yeshiva shel ma'ala. He will be zoche to have a seat in the yeshiva of above, of the heavens. Shne'emar, im tashuv va'ashivecha nefanai ta'amod. God tells the prophet Yirmiyahu that if you're going to be successful and you're going to bring the people back to teshuvah through your rebuking, ani ashivecha elai, I will return you to me for the fanai ta'amod, and you will stand in front of me, which means you will be existing the olam abba. And anybody that teaches the son of an Amaris Torah, Afilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gozer Gezerah. Even if God will decree a bad decree against the people, Mevatela Bishvilo, God will overturn his decree in the merit of the person that teaches somebody else's son Torah. Shene'emar Ve'im Totsi Yakar Mezolel, which means the one that brings a Tamid Hakam from an Amaris. He takes the precious thing from the cheap item. Meaning the Amaris is cheap, and this rabbi goes and teaches the son of Amaris. He brings a precious item from something that was cheap. He brought a Hakam out of an Amaris. The Pasuk finishes, Kefi Tehyeh, according to his mouth it'll be. Which means God will make Gezerot and he could say, no, no Gezerah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will follow his words. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar mi Panach, Amar mi Yochanan, Kol Shu Tamid Hakam, Ubno Tamid Hakam, Uben Beno Tamid Hakam, Shuv En Torah Posek Bezaro Me'olam. And if a person has three generations of Torah, his son, his grandson, his great-grandson, Torah is guaranteed to stay with him forever. The Torah will remain in that family forever. Three generations.
Him, his son, and his grandson.
Son, him, his son, and his grandson. Three generations. As the Pasuk says, Shnei Emar, V'ani Zot Beriti, Otam Amar Hashem, Ruchai Asher Alecha, etc. Lo Yamushu Mepicha, Mepi Zaracha. So the Gemara says, "My so three generations, Picha, Pizaraka, Pizarazaraka. My Amar Hashem. What does it mean at the end of the pasuk? God says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Arev Lecha Bedavar Zeh. I guarantee it. God says, I am a guarantor to make sure Torah will never leave that family. My Me'ata V'Adonam. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mikan Va'ilach. After three generations of Talmidei Chachamim, already by the fourth generation, Torah Mechazeret Al Achsaniya Shela. The Torah will return to its host, to the one that hosted it. Which means in the zechut of the three generations, the fourth generation afterward, Torah will always return to where the Torah was received in that family for three generations. The Mefarshim say on this, there's a famous piece of Rav Chida. He writes it in the Midbar Kedemot, and he also is brought down on the bottom of the Sefer Hasidim. He says that he saw an old gilyon, an old paper that says that Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov lived overlapping 15 years. That means they were together in the world for 15 years, and they studied 15 hours a day together. So the question is then, if it's true that Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, that's three generations, they studied Torah for 15 hours a day and they studied together. According to the Tosafot, this blessing comes when the three generations see each other and they learn together. So that was fulfilled by Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. So they asked the Hafetz Chaim, if that's the case, how come then we have families in Klal Yisrael that are not Torah families? We have a guarantee. Once there's three generations, and everybody comes from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Torah guaranteed comes back to its host. So he answered very easy, the Hafetz Chaim, and he said, you have to show up. Which means you got to come to the Beit Midrash to pick up the Beracha. You can't get the Beracha in your house. You're not going to open up a Sefer. The Beracha is not going to come to you. It's like a person has a lottery ticket. He can have the winning ticket, but if he doesn't cash it in, so therefore it's only worth the paper that it's written on. So therefore, Hafetz Chaim said, everybody has a chance to become great in Torah as a result of the learning of Rabbi Yitzchak Yaakov did. But you have to make an effort to go to the Beit Midrash to go study. That's why we once explained, could be because of this, that we say that when a couple gets married, ish v'isha shezachu shechina b'nehem, that a couple that has zechut of shalom bayit, so the shechina is amongst them. How is the shechina amongst the ish and isha? So the books say, Gemara Sota, that in the ish you have the letter yud, ish, the yud of ish, and the he of isha, which is the letters yud ke. So you have the yud ke name in the man and the wife. So we once said, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give that specific shem? There's so many shemot that God could have put in the union of Ish v'Isha. So he said, because we're giving a musar to the couple. Your purpose of getting married is to have children. And you have to remember that you come from a great stock, a great lineage, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And they learned Torah for 15 years together, 15 hours a day. And therefore we're putting that Yud Keh, which is 15, to remind you where you come from. And therefore, let your child show up. Send your kids to the yeshiva. Send your kids to the Talmud Torah to study Torah. You have to pick up the beracha that's waiting for you. So therefore, the Yud Keh always reminds them of the legacy of where they come from. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yosef, Yativ Arba'in Ta'aniyata. Rabbi Yosef fasted 40 days in prayer in order that the Torah should not leave his family. Va'akriyuhu, after he fasted 40 days, they sent him a pasuk in a dream. Lo yamushu mipicha. Okay, the 40 fast guaranteed that you yourself, the Torah will never leave you. Yativ arba'in ta'aniyata harini. So he fasted another 40. Va'akriyuhu, and then they read him the second part of the pasuk. Lo yamushu mipicha u'mipizaracha. So now he knew he guaranteed Torah to his children. Yativ me'ah. Now he went and fasted an additional 100. Some want to say that me'ah really should be mem. It should say mem in the Gemara, meaning an additional 40. And the text got mixed up and it says me'ah. That's what Maharshal wants to say. Anyway, ta'riyata harini, he fasted an additional third group of fastings. Atav akliu, they read the pasuknim in a dream. Lo yamushu mepicha, umepi zaracha, umepi zera zaracha. Amar mikan yaila, lo tzarichna. From here on in, I don't have to worry. Torah mehazeret al achsanya shela. Torah always will return to its host. Zera kisalik laradi Yisrael. When Abizera went to Eretz Yisrael, originally Abizera was in Bavel, and he learned Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli has a certain style to it. But when he went to Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to learn now Talmud Yerushalmi. It has a different style. So he wanted to forget the Talmud Bavli so he doesn't become affected when he studies the new style. So it says, Yativ me'at aniyata, he sat in 100 fasts, Dilishtakach gemara babla'a mineh, that he should forget the Talmud Bavli, ki echi delo nitredeh. So therefore, when he comes to study the new Gemara from Rabbi Yohanan and Eretz Yisrael, he won't be influenced by the Gemara above. He'll be able to study with a clear head. Yativ me'ah hananeyata. After that, he fasted another 100. Delo lishkuv Rabbi Azar b'shne, that Rabbi Azar should not die in his lifetime. V'naflin alave mided tzibura, because then all the community obligations are going to fall on him. He wanted to study Torah, so Rabbi Zera said, "I fast that Rabbi Azar should live and not die," because he knew once Rabbi Azar dies, he's going to be responsible to take care of the community, and he's not going to be able to study Torah like he wants. V'yativ me'ah harini, and then he fasted another 100. De'lo nishlot be nurat de Gehinnam. He did not want the fire of Gehinnam to affect him. So what did he do? He used to test himself. Kol teltin yome, every 30 days. Okay, because it is the fire of Gehinnam every 30 days is rejuvenated. So every 30 days he would test himself. How? Hava badik nafshe. Shagar tanura. He used to light the oven. Salik miyativ begaveh. And he used to sit inside the oven. Velo hava shalta benura. And the fire of the oven did not affect him. So he knew that Gehinnam is not going to affect him. The fire had no power over him. Yomahad, one day, Yahavu berabbanan ena. The Achamim saw him. It seems they gave him like an ayin hara. They saw him jump into the oven. Ve'harechu shakeh. When he went in, his thighs got burnt a little. Ve'karu leh. So then the Achamim started to call him Katin harich shakeh. The small one of Israel was short. They told him the short one with the singed thighs. Right? That's what they called them. Sometimes they called them Za'ira Hakatan. Za'ira. Za'ira is a bizera. In our Gemara we call it Zera. But in Yerushalmi they call him Ze'ira. Ze'ira is Rabbi Zera. Ze'ira is the small one. Okay, Amru Chachamim. No, continue. Amar Rabbi Huda. Amar Rav. May Dichtiv. What does the Pasuk in Yirmiyah mean? Mi'a'i Shechacham V'yavin Etzot ואשר דיבר פי השם אליו ויגידה על מה אבדה הארץ. The pasuk says over here, who is the hacham that understands this, and who is the one that God has spoken through his mouth? Let him come and explain to us for what reason was the Beit HaMikdash destroyed and why was Jerusalem destroyed. Al ma avda ha'aris. This question, Amru Hakamim. The Hakamim said, they asked this question to the Hakamim, like it says in the Pasuk, Me'isha Hakam ve'lo pirshu. But the Hakamim were not able to give a reason. Amru Nevi'im, like it says, Vashid Dibber Pi Hashem. They spoke to the ones that have the word of God in their mouths. Ve'lo pirshu, they cannot explain it. Ad shepirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'atzmo, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself came and gave the reason. Shene'emar Ve'yomer Hashem Al Ozbam Et Torati Asher Natati Lifnehem. Because they left the Torah. Now if they left the Torah, how come the Hakamim didn't see that? How come the prophets didn't see that? Because it really wasn't that. They really were studying Torah. However, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Shelo Birchu BaTorah Techila. They were studying Torah, but it wasn't important enough to them for them to make Birkat Torah, which means they studied Torah like any other subject, and like a secular subject, just for the wisdom, for the knowledge. But they didn't study Torah in the Kiddushah of it. And therefore, when you don't study Torah in the Kiddushah, so then already the Torah doesn't protect you from sin. Torah only protects a person from sin when he studies Torah L'Shem Shamayim. But if a person doesn't study with the right Kavanah, then the Torah does not protect them from sin, and therefore they committed Gidui Arayot, Shefikut Damim, and Avodah Zarah. That's why there's a question. We know that the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of the three major sins. Here it says they didn't make the Berachah and the Torah. The Kavanah's question was, what brought them to make those sins? If they were studying Torah, Torah is supposed to protect you. How then did they come to make the three cardinal sins? And the Gemara answers, the Kavanah Baruch Hu says, they studied Torah, but they didn't make the Berachah and the Torah. And therefore, since they didn't make the Berachah and the Torah first, it shows that their studying was not the Shem Shamayim, without the right Kavanah. They studied like any other subject, and therefore, they were subject to other averot. I once heard a derasha on this. They say shelo birchu b'torah tehillah, that when a father goes to bless his child, what's the berachah that they bless their children? They should have parnasa, they should get married, they should have health, and also they should become tamidei hachamim. So the Gemara is saying over here that the problem with the people is shelo birchu b'torah tehillah. When they bless their children, they didn't bless them first that they should be great in Torah, which means they were more worried about the money and the parnasah, and then tamid hakam. No, the real concern of the parents should be that the child should grow up in Torah, and then also should have a parnasah. That's what we say. You see, mechai Elohim ke Ephraim v'chim nasheh. First, it should be like Ephraim. Ephraim was the learner. And then Menashe was the one that had the support, was the one that worked. And that's why we bless our children. She Berakah of Torah always has to precede the Berakah of the Parnasah. Comes again and says, Amar of Hamma, my dichtiv, what does it mean in the Pasuk of Mishleh? Belev Navon Tanua Chokhmah. Ubikedev Kesilim Tivadeya. In the heart of the Navon, of the wise man, rests wisdom. Ubikedev Kesilim, but in the heart of the fools, tivadeya. Tivadeya means it'll be known. Belev navon tanuach, in the heart of the navon, the wisdom rests. Chokmah ze tamid hakam ben tamid hakam. Right, which is where there's wisdom, there's more wisdom. The tamid hakam has a son, that's the tamid hakam. Ubkeriv kesim tivadeya. But sometimes in the midst of fools, tivadeya becomes known. Ze tamid hakam ben Amaris. This is the Tamid Hakam, the son of the Amaris. So that's in the midst of Kisidim, God shows that what? The crown of Torah is still available. Ashi, Hainu Bekirif Kisim, Mishpahat Kisidim. Right, the family of Kisim. Amar Ula, Hainu Da Amri Inche. This is what the people say. Istira Bilghina Kish Kish Karya. That when you have a coin in an empty tzedakah box, it makes a lot of noise. When you shake it, everybody hears the jingling. It makes a lot of noise. But if you have a box that's filled with money and you shake it, you don't have anything. And therefore, what's the nimshah that he wants to give over here? That's he. Estera bilgina, sela ehad bilgina, kish kish karya, makes noise, kish kish makes noise, mit keshkesh u mashmiya kolo, bimayama leselaim, lo ayam mashmiya kol. Right, so if you have all hakamim, it's like a filled kupa. But when you have one hakam in the family, so it's like one, it's a big thing.
Out of the ordinary.
It's out of the ordinary. It makes a lot of noise. Kish kish karya. That's what the Gemara is learning this mashal differently than we understood it the first time we studied it. Here it's learning that when the whole family is hakamim, we take it for granted. It's filled up, doesn't make so much noise. Also, one hakam sprouts out of a family of amaharis. Wow, that's one in an empty box makes a lot of noise. You see the greatness of the Keter of Torah is even able to sprout in such a place. But there's another interpretation of this mashal that we learned once. That, right, a person that has a lot of wisdom, the wise man usually is silent. And that's the way he was able to amass so much wisdom. Because he listens to other people, and therefore you don't hear him talking so much. He's just usually silent and just collecting chokmah. But the fool, he has one or two facts that clank around his brain, and he doesn't stop talking. He talks and talks and talks. Keep quiet for a minute. Maybe you'll learn something by being silent. Somebody once said that the word listen is the same letters as the word silent. Mm. That in order to listen, you have to be silent. You can't talk. Istirab bilgina, when you have a box of one coin, kish kish karya. The fool always is rattling his voice and doesn't give a chance to let anybody else say anything. Amma le rabbi 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 zera. May dichtiv katon vegadon sham hu. Me'evet chofshi me'adonav. Says, the big and the small are in the grave. Me'evet chofshi me'adonav. And the slave becomes free from his master. Atu lo yad'inan dekaton vegadol shamu, which means we know that everybody is destined to die, whether the small person or the great person. What does it mean? Katon vegadol shamu. Ela kol maktin atzmo al devrei Torah ba'olam hazeh. Somebody humbles himself and lowers himself to study Torah in this world. Na'aseh gadol la'olam haba. He becomes great in olam haba. Katon vegadol. Which means he studies day and night like he's a servant to the Torah, like the Torah is his boss. He doesn't let up. When Olam Abba comes, he indeed becomes, so to speak, he has a certain freedom. It means he subjugates himself to the Torah like an Eved. So then the Torah gives him freedom. Okay, Ishtakish havam mitzayin me'altad rabbanan. Ishtakish, he used to put signs on the caves where the hachamim were buried. He used to mark them with markers in order that the kohanim should not walk in these places and become tameh, so to the service. He would mark up the kevarim. Because we know that a met is metameh be'ohil. So if the kohen is going to walk over it, he's going to be ma'ahil on the met, if it was going to become tamer. So he was worried about the kohanim that would walk over these caves of the hakamim, and therefore he didn't want the tzaddikim to get tamer, and therefore he didn't want the tzaddikim, I'm sorry, to be the cause of the kohanim to become tamer. So therefore, to protect the tzaddikim, also he marked them. Anyway, what happened? Ki matal me'artad revihiya. Oh, when he got to the cave of revihiya, he forgot where it was. Halaj da'tes. Shakish felt bad because he felt that must be a sign that he's not worthy to enter the cave of the Bihiya. That's why they're not letting him know where it is. Amar bono shel olam, lo pilpalti Torah kemoto. But I didn't say good divrei Torah like the Bihiya. How come I don't have a zechut to go into the cave? It's that but called the Amra lo Torah kemoto pilpalta. Yes, pilpul meaning saying over beautiful Torah you did. Torah kemoto lo ribatsta. But you did not spread Torah like the Bihiya to others. Ki havu minsu. Rabbi Hanina the Rabbi Hiya. When they were fighting one time, Rabbi Hanina the Rabbi Hiya, on a certain subject, Torah, they were, you know, arguing. Amale Rabbi Hanina the Rabbi Hiya. Hanina told Rabbi Hiya, Bahade didi kam min sit. Are you fighting with me? Has v'shalom imishtakehat Torah miYisrael mehadan nalam mipilpuli. If the Torah would be forgotten, I would be able, through my pilpul, to bring the Torah back to Klal Yisrael. She was saying, well, don't argue, I know what I'm talking about. That means if the Torah was forgotten, he would be able to bring it back just in his sharpness of, you know, making the Hiddushim. Amar le Reb Chaya Rabbi Hanina. So Reb Chaya said back, Ba'adid iti kam in sit. You're fighting with me? I did it. I ensured that the Torah will not be forgotten. You're saying potentially, if the Torah will be forgotten, I can bring it back. I did it. I did an action to ensure that the Torah will never be forgotten in Klal Yisrael. What did Rabbi Chaya do? Famous story. My avita, avidna. What was the actions of Rabbi Chaya? Azina v'shadina kitna. He says, I went and I planted flax. V'gadilna nishbe. And from the flax I made traps. Traps to catch animals, nets. V'saidina tabe. And I went and I trapped deer. U'ma'achina bisrayu liyetme. And I took the flesh of the deer and I fed the meat of it to the yetomim, to the orphans. Ve'arichna migilta, and from the hide of the deer, I made cloth, I made parchment. Uchtavna, and I wrote on the parchments, hamisha chumashe, I wrote five chumashim. Ve'salikna lemata, and I came to the city, where I was the teacher of the children. Umakrena hamisha yinuke b'hamisha chumashe, and I took five children, and I taught them Hamisha Chumshe Torah. Each one got one Chumash. I taught each one Chumash from these parchments. Umatina Shita Yinuke Shita Sidre. And I took six children, and I taught them the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. One Seder for each child. V'amanna Leo, and I said, Adda Dana V'atina. Until I come back to the city, Akru Ahadade. Learn with each other. Ve'atnu adade, and study the Mishnayot together, which means teach your friend the Chumash that you learned in order to give it over to the other one, and teach the Mishnah that you learned to the other one, so each one will end up knowing Hamisha Chumshe Torah and Shishas to the Mishnah. Ve'avdi la Torah le'loj tagah Mishnah, and as a result, I caused the Torah that it should not be forgotten in Yisrael. Now, the Mefarshim over here explain. What was the secret over here of Rabbi Chaya? He could have just took five students and teach them Torah. What's with all this preparation that he took Pishtan and he planted it and made nets and trapped the deer and he gave the meat to the Yetomim and why all the preparations? What Rabbi Chaya was coming along to say is that in order for the Torah to go into the student, for it to endure to the future generations, the foundation must be l'shem shamayim, which means it has to be everything perfect. Even the paper that they study on, if it comes from an animal that was slaughtered, but the meat that was even, that'll affect the child, and the Torah will go into him in a much better way. So you see, Moshe, all the elements for success in Torah that surround it are also important as well. Not only you heard a shi'ud, but even the environment that the Torah was given over, look how pure it was from the beginning. These chumashim were written on the most pure document. He planted the seeds for the trap, l'shem shamayim. Therefore, when these kids study Torah from such a book, it made a big difference on them. From here, the rabbis say that you have a child that goes to the yeshiva, and he's studying Torah, and he goes down now to eat lunch. And the lunch, the school, Chas v'Shalom, taking from the government without paying the government or taking extra food and things like that. So now what's going to happen? This affects the child's Torah. Here we saw that everything had to be perfect in order for the Torah to... But if a school now compromises on values of Torah, so the child that's learning, the Torah will not go in him the same way. So you see there's many variables that everything has to be pure. 100% the Shem Shamayim. The teachers, the faculty, the books, the environment. Kavahomer, then Berosh of Kavahomer, if the children are studying in an environment of Isur, if Chas v'Shalom, boys and girls are studying together after a certain age, so how is it possible that the Torah is going to be 100% like this? It's Torah. But Torah to endure to the future? He's saying over here that it had to be done in such a perfect way. Without that, it cannot succeed. We have to be careful on the variables as well. Not just we have the best teacher. Not we have the best curriculum. That's not only the subject over here. If that's the case, Rabbi Chaya could have sat down and taught them from a regular chumash that he got from a store. And they held that everything has to be done from the inception the right way. That type of Torah can be promoted and given over to the next generation. On this story, this is what Rabbi said. Kama gedolim ma'aseh hiya. How great is the actions of Hiya. Even Rabbi was impressed by this actions that the Hiya did. Amale Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosef. Yishmael said, Afilu Mimar. He said, even greater than you? Mimar? Which means you're saying Kama gedolim ma'aseh hiya. That's the Rabbi said. So he said, Rabbi, even greater than your actions? Amale in. Yes. So they asked him, Afilu me'abba? Even from my father? No, let's get the story here. Hainu damar Rabbi. Rabbi said, Kama gedolim ma'aseh hiya. Great. Amar Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Ishmael said, Afilu mimor, which means even from you, Amalein. He said, even from my father, Rabbi Yosef? Amale has v'shalom. Not much, no. Lo tekazot, but he said, for sure, your father's actions were greater. Now, what was Rabbi Yosef's actions? So he says a story in Masechet Sanhedrin. It says over there, She'ilu haya Rabbi Yosef chay bizman nesiyoto shel Rabbi. If Rabbi Yosef would live in the time of Rabbi, haya kafuf v'yoshev lefnei Rabbi. He would subjugate himself to Rabbi. Achen Rabbi habeb oto. Rabbi loved Rabbi Yosef. Ukshashama psak halacha shel Rabbi Yosef. Whenever you heard halacha like Rabbi Yosef, lo ratza lachlok alav. He never wanted to argue. He would always say, Kevar ora zaken. The old rabbi, the tzaddik, Rabbi Yosef, said halacha, he never wanted to argue. Im ken, the chaura Rabbi haya gadol min Rabbi Yosef. The chaura Rabbi, according to that, really was greater than Rabbi Yosef. Achen, kevar pirish shashi v'shabbat, דבר המתריה כפוף שמה שרבי יוסי היה מכניע עצמו לרבי, that which רבי יוסי humbled himself in front of רבי, רק משום כבוד הנשיאות, on כוסיית כבוד to the presidency, אף הפי שהיה גדול מרבי. Okay, so you see, really he was greater than Rabbi. So therefore, Rabbi over here says, oh, your father was great. And really he was great. Even though Rabbi Yosef would humble himself in front of Rabbi, that was only for the kavod of the nisiut. But in truth, Rabbi Yosef was indeed greater than Rabbi. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rabbi Zera. Another story. You see how Rabbi Haya was so great. Emesh nid ali Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbi Hanina. Rabbi Zera said yesterday, Rabbi Yosef came to me in a dream. Amarti lo, etzel mi ata takua. Where are you sitting in yeshiva shel ma'ala? Who's shi'ur? Amar li, etzel Rabbi Yohanan. I sit by Rabbi Yohanan. Rabbi Yohanan etzel mi. And who does Rabbi Yohanan listen to? Etzel Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai etzel mi. Etzel Rabbi Hanina. Rabbi Hanina etzel mi. Etzel Rabbi Hiya. Amarti lo, Rabbi Yohanan etzel Rabbi Hiya. Lo? Meaning Rabbi Yohanan is not ra'uy to sit in front of Rabbi Chaya. Amali ba'atar de zikukin de nura ub'urin de asha man me'ayil ban nafhal tamam. In a place where there's fire and, you know, fiery boats coming out. Who's going to go in over there? They called the Bar Nafha was Rabbi Yohanan. They nicknamed him Bar Nafha. So he said, what do you think? Think Bar Nafha is going to go with the fiery boats? Which is Rabbi Chaya's place in the Shammai was obviously very high.
Wow.
Right? They called him Bar Nafha because his father was a blacksmith. So they called him the son of the smith. Amar, another story of Rabbi Chaya. Amar Rav Habiba. Ishta'eli Rav Habiba Bar Surmakeh. One time he says, the rabbi told me a story. He says like this, one day I saw one of the hakamim, Eliyahu never used to come to this rabbi all the time. In the morning I saw the rabbi's eyes were handsome, they were beautiful. But at night it looked like his eyes were burnt in a fire. Amri le, so I told him, my hi, what's going on over here? Amri, the Amri le Eliyahu, I told Eliyahu Navi, Ahveli Rabbanan kisalke le metifta derikia, which means, so I want to see the Hakamim in the, when they're going up to the metifta derikia and the yeshiva shel maala, I want to see them. Amri, bechulu matzitas tekulebu. All the rabbis in the Shamaim, I can show you. Lebar meguharka, I cannot show you the bench, the Rabbi Chaya. Where Rabbi Chaya says, Delo tistakel be. You cannot, because on such a high level, you cannot see him. My simanayu. So he said, how am I going to know where he sits? You know, give me a siman so I don't have to look over there, so I know where he's sitting. Bechulu azle malache kisalke benachte. Which means, the angels are constantly moving up and down next to the rabbis that are studying Torah, right? To help them. Levar meguhar kad Rabbi Chaya, except for Rabbi Chaya's area, the benafshe salik benachit. He gets up and sits down by himself. All the other rabbis have the aid of the angels, helping them get up and go down. Mashiach Rabbi Chaya, he doesn't have the aid of the malachim. He does it himself. Okay? They say, Midah Kenegel Midah. Since he did everything himself to teach the boys Torah, so therefore Shammai will be able to do everything himself. He's not going to need the aid of Malachim to help him go from one level to the next level. He's able to carry himself. In any event, Lo Metzai Le'ukma Anafshai. He says, but I couldn't control myself. This is the rabbi talking. I couldn't control myself. Estakaliba. I looked at him. Atutre Butite Dinura. Two bolts of fire came out from where Rabbi Chaya was, umahyuha lahu gabra, and it hit him. It attacked him. His eyes. Vesaminu de'ayne, and blinded his eyes. Lemahar, the next day, azle ishtatihi amalte, I went to the grave of Rabbi Chaya, to the cave, amina, and I said, matniyata demor matnina. I'm studying your Braitot and your Tosefot. I'm studying all your Torah. V'tasai. And therefore he healed me. Come in, I'm studying your Torah. I need eyes to study your Torah. Rabbi Chaya wrote the Tosefta. He gathered them also, and the Braitot also. So he said, I'm reading your it seems when you study somebody's work, his lips move in the kevet. So therefore it's a zechut. I'm studying your book. If I can't see, I can't give you a zechut. Okay, study my books. I'll give you a zechut. Malak continues. Eliyahu Ava Shachiyach b'metifta de Rabbi. Eliyahu never used to come to the yeshiva of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He was accustomed. Yomachad Resh El Chahava. One day it was Rosh Chodesh. Nagale v'lo ata. Eliyahu Navi was late. He didn't show up to the yeshiva. Amalesu Rabbi says, how come you were late? Amma Lis Eliyahu says, at the Okimna le Avraham, I had to go to Hebron to wake up Avraham Abinu, umashina yade umsaleh, I had to wash his hands and touch Yadai, and then pray with him, you know, and then Tzadikim don't die, so they're still alive. Umagnina le, then I had to put him back to rest. Vechen li Yitzchak, Vechen li Yaakov. So Rabbi asked him, V'lukminu b'hadei hadadi. Why don't you just wake them all up together and they'll pray together? What do you have to do each one separately? So he says, Savre, takfe b'rahame, that if the avot are going to pray together, all three in one shot, umaytene the Mashiach b'dozim ne. The Mashiach will have to come even before the time, before its time. So therefore, I'm not allowed to wake them all up together. We have to pray them each one separately. Is there anybody in this world that is same power of like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Yeah, Rabbi Chaya and his children, they have the same potency. So what? So now Rabbi got the trick from Rabbi. He wants to orchestrate a prayer where Rabbi Chaya and his two sons are going to pray together, and then Mashiach will come. So that's it, now he got the trick. So he called the fast day. Gazar Rabbi Ta'anita. Ahtinu Rabbi Chaya Ubanav. So he invited Rabbi Chaya and his sons to Hazanim. Amar, so Rabbi Chaya said, Mashiva Ruach. All of a sudden, Nashbazika. He just said the word Mashiva Ruach, the wind started to come in. Amar Morid Geshem. By the way, Atamitra. Kimata lememar mehayametim. Now he's about to finish the Berakah to say mehayametim. Ragash alma. The whole world started to shake. It means the metim was starting to come out of the ground. Amre birkiya. So in the heaven they said, man galer raziyab alma. Who gave the secret? Who told the secret over here? Amre Eliyahu. So they told on him. They said it was Eliyahu Navi that told the secret. At you, the Eliyahu, Mahyehu Shittin Pulsin the Nura. They gave him Makot, 60 fiery lashes. Ata. So now he had to stop it. He could not have this Tichat HaMetim prematurely. So Eliyahu Navi had to fix it. Ata Idme Lehu Keduba de Nura. He came into the middle of the Bit Midrash where they were praying, and he appeared like a fiery bear. Al Benayu, and he went amongst them, Vitardinu, and they lost their Kavana. They weren't able to have their Kavana, and therefore it did not happen. Nashi, let's just read that. She's now over here. Let's read. Okay, we basically did it. Well, let's just start from him. When he went to the Bihayan, he told him, the guy that got blind, he said, I'm studying your teachings. Tosefta shel Adoni, she says, Zarim, Ani Shoneh and Tamid. The Rebbe Chaya said, Tosefta. He established Tosefta. He said, Rebbe Chaya, Rebbe Chaya, Menaleh. Ba'amri kol manita, lo manita, Rebbe Chaya, Rebbe Chaya, lo tutvu mineh bebe midrasha. Rebbe used to say, any Tosefta that doesn't have Rebbe Chaya's signature on it, don't bring it to me in the bebe midrash. Rebbe Chaya was the one that established it. Takfu benachamim arbim betfina, maiten lemashiach b'lozum neh, lachen en nita, Rebbe Shut Ramidam, I cannot bring Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov together. Yesh tuk matash, tetz fratan, is somebody in this world that they're on the same level? Pulse habatot malkot, like sticks of fire. And that's it. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.